For us, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We want to keep on this theme of love this morning. You figured out we were talking about love this morning also. But the title of my sermon this morning is Loving God. How do we really love God? We know that we should, because He first loved us. But how do we truly show that we are in the love of God? And we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But before we read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to open Your Word and to study it. Father, may Your truth come out and change our lives today. May Your Holy Spirit fill this place, Lord, and fill each one of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to yield to it today, Lord, and that we would leave this place changed. We ask that You bind Satan on our behalf, and Father, help us, Lord, to be more like You. Lord, help us to love You with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And Father, we just thank You for You and Your salvation and Your love that You showed to us through Your Son's death on the cross. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage this morning, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." And verse 5 is the key. Is that the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You know, we need to let the Word of God have free course. And in way of introduction, we look at these first four verses. What does that mean? That means that we just don't hear it and say, "Well, that's a great thing to say. But that was a great message today." We actually apply it in life and let the Word of God dwell in you what?
Richly.
And changing. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you don't do what God's word says, you're not letting the word of God have free course. You're not letting the message of God have free course today. And Paul and Silas asking the church at Thessalonica to pray for them that the word be not hindered, that it does its purpose, that it changes lives, and God is glorified. Secondly, he prays that they are going to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. There's a lot of unreasonable and wicked people out in the world today. They do not know the love of God. And if you hang out with them, you won't have the love of God. You can't love God, being an evil influence. And so he says, we need deliverance from that. That should be our prayer every day, church, is that we're delivered from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from what? Evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So we need deliverance from unreasonable men. We need deliverance to God. Verse 3, we need God to establish us and keep you from evil. Why? Because he's faithful. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And this is all leading up to verse 5 today. Verse 4 asks a question that we can look at for us. In verse 4, he says, we have confidence and the Lord touching you, that you both do, that's present tense, and that he had the confidence that they would do these things, future tense, because it was the right thing to do. That they would have the Word of God have free course, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, that they would be established, that would stay away from evil. Peter and Paul and Silas could count on that. This morning I ask this question, can God and others count on us to do what God commands? That's a sobering thought. And then verse 5 says this, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ. We need to be directed into the love of God. This morning I want to share 4 things on what the love of God should do in our lives. What it will do for us and what it will do to us and what it will do for others. And I want God to direct your hearts into His love today. The first thing is that we need a growing love. A growing love. I trust that most of you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. There's no second blessing. It happens right at salvation. And the Spirit needs to start working in your life. And it needs to be a growing love is the very first thing. It's a consequence of the Spirit's work in your life. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Once you have love, you can go forward with this thing. Love brings joy. Love brings peace. Love brings long-suffering or patience. Love brings gentleness. Love brings goodness. Love brings faith. Love brings meekness. All these other things that are not written in law, but we keep the law. It's a consequence of the Spirit's work. A Christian is supposed to love. If you cannot love God and you cannot love others, then the Holy Spirit is not working in your life and you are not growing. It is a fruit. And not only is it a fruit, it's a continuing work in progress. I know for a fact that I love my wife more today than the day I said I do 43 years ago. And every day that we walk with the Lord, we should love Him more. Amen. We should love His Word more. We should love His work more. It's a continuing work. The Bible says in John chapter 15, He says that if we bear fruit, we need to abide in the vine. If we bear fruit, the husband takes it away. God takes it away so it can bring forth more fruit. Better fruit. More mature fruit. John chapter 15 verse 5. Jesus is telling them as they're walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. A lot of times we think that we're first and God's second. Okay? He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. We need to bring forth much more love, much more joy, much more peace, much more long-suffering. Much more the fruit of the Spirit. It says, for without me, ye can do nothing. And if you're not growing, you're dead. If you're not showing the love of God today, your faith is dead. Your walk with Christ is dead. You need to have a growing love. It's one as a consequence of the Spirit's work and is a continuing work in progress. Do you love Jesus more today than you did yesterday? More than last week? What about next year? Do you love other Christians more than you did before? The problem is, why are people leaving churches? Why are people having discussions? Because we're not growing in love. We put a critical spirit in place of love. It's about us and not God. So we need to be directed to the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it needs to be a growing love. It needs to be a showing love. I can say I love you to my wife all the day long. If I don't do something to back it up, she'll get to the point, yeah, right. Okay? And I have a feeling that some of us, that's the way God looks at it. We love you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. Show me. Show me. We need to have a showing love that's in action. In John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says this, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" One of the things that Christ was known for in his ministry was compassion. He saw a crowd. He had compassion on them. He healed their sick. He fed them. He cast out demons. He did things that were helpful to them. He showed the love of God in his life, and he showed the love of God to others. Folks, the love of God in our lives should affect others in a positive way. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? In deed and in truth. So showing love is one that we see that's actually in action, and it's also an acknowledgement of who we really love most, God. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And what's this next verse say? "And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Do we accentuate the desire that we have for people or the differences that we have with them? Mm-hmm. Do we have compassion on them or are we critical of them? Mm-hmm. We need a showing love, one that's an action, one that's an acknowledgement of God. One that's in adoration. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It starts off that we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. In verse 5, it gets that and it says, and that gives us hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. I love the hope that Christ gives me. I have a home in heaven.
Yeah.
I have a God who walks by me. I have one. He will talk to me. He tells me he loves me. And I know he loves me. And I'm not confounded by that. I'm not confused by that. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We sang a psalm today that shows that. Set my soul on fire. We need to have our souls set afire for the love of God. Amen. It's set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. You can't fake it. So other people can see it. This year's been a tough year. But I've seen God work in things that I didn't think would happen. But God is great.
Amen.
God is great. We need to rejoice for those things. We need to have a growing love, because the Holy Spirit is working in us. And God's purging this love fruit so we can grow more. We need a showing love that one's in action and one's in acknowledgement of who allows us to do this, which is Christ, as an adoration for Him. We need a controlling love. love. This morning I was teaching in the youth that we should do things because we want to, not because we have to. I pray that everyone here wants to be here today, not forced to be here because you think it's a duty that you have to perform. If you love God, you want to be here. You want to read His Word. You want to spend time in prayer. You want to share the gospel. You want to do all these things. It's a growing love that shows. But for controlling love, there are requirements. First requirement is love for God. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Yeah. How can we say that we love God when we don't do what God's Word says? How can we say that we love our spouse or love our kids when we say one thing and our actions say something totally different? We need to have love for God. And if we have love for God, we have the second requirement, which is love for God's Word. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says this, "For this is the love of God." Well, how do I know I'm in love? When you're doing this. "For this is the love of God." God's going to direct you to the love of God in Christ Jesus, that we keep His commandments, and it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It should not be hard to keep God's commandments. You know something? It shouldn't be hard to do the right thing. Amen. It shouldn't be hard to be in the right place. It shouldn't be hard to be around the right people. It shouldn't be hard to say the right words. It shouldn't be hard to do the right thing. That we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know how you keep the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as thyself. Why is this so critical? Because today we live in a heathen society. We live in the last days. And Matthew 24:12 says, "And because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold." And Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He basically says that men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Mm-hmm. It's all about being, who's first in your life? Mm-hmm. Who's first in your life? The requirements is love for God. This morning, ask yourself this question. How well do you love God? Christ have to ask us like He asked Peter? Notice He didn't ask John. He asked Peter. Do we have love for God's Word? Those are the requirements. What's the result? The result is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "For the love of Christ constrains us." We need to have our mind renewed that we would not even consider doing something that's contrary to God's Word or contrary to His will. That's the constraint. It couldn't even come into your mind. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge." Judge what? What we do. "That if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." We need daily to acknowledge what Christ did for us. He gave His life for us. greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. So do you have a growing love this morning? Do you have a showing love this morning? Does the love of God control you and constrain you? Do you have a going love? A going love. The only way that we have a going love is through the actions of Christ. It's the love that allows us to go to heaven. It's the love that allows us to do His will and His work. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Why are you alive today? It's because of God. Amen. Why do you have the hope of heaven? Because of God. Amen. Why do you have faith? Because of God. Why do you have grace and mercy in your life? Because of God. It's all about Him. It's through the actions of Christ. It's a going love. Do you know where you're going if you die? Have you experienced the love of Christ? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
A going love is through the acceptance of Christ. It's a profession by faith. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." And if God dwells in you, then you need to have a growing love. If God dwells in you, then you need to have a showing love. If God dwells in you, then you have to have a controlling love. If God dwells in you, then you're directed in the love of God through Christ. It's a possession in faith. In verse 16 of 1 John 4, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. And he that what? Dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Amen.
Leave today dwelling in love.
Right.
Leave today knowing what Christ did for you. And then it leads to perfection through faith. This is not to become sinless. That happens when we get to heaven. And we're changed from incorruptible to corruptible. But remember what I said before? It's a growing love. Question. Can you love God more than you're loving Him right now?
Yeah.
The answer should be yes. Question. Can you love your neighbor or someone else more than you love them now?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Question. Can you do more to show your love for God to others? The answer is yes. Question. Can you do more to show that you're following the Word of God than you're doing right now? Is there things in our life that we just haven't given up yet? The answer is yes. And we're supposed to be conformed to His image. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 through 18 says, "Herein is our love made perfect or complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." I don't have to fear when I die. Because I accepted Christ because of His love for me. And I can stand before God, not me standing, but Christ stands for me. And I'm justified in His sight. That we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as what? As He is, so are we in this world. You know something? If you're not doing the right thing, you know you're not doing the right thing, and that kind of brings distress in your mind. Because you know you're not doing the right thing. You can fix that by loving God more.
Amen.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Today, are you concerned that somebody might find out something about you? Because you know it's the wrong thing? You need to get that right today. Today, if Christ came back and you were supposed to stand, you stand before Him, is there something you have to answer for that you really don't want to answer for? You can fix that today. Look at the actions of Christ. As He is, so are we in the world. Look at our acceptance of Christ. And we need to make Him Lord of our life. Christ loves you unconditionally. But do we love Him the same way? I think everyone in here today said, I can love you more, Jesus. But first of all, do you know Him? If you die right now, do you know that you go to heaven? Is that something you say you're still working on? If you say you're still working on it, then you need the love of God in your life today. Christ died on the cross for man's sin. He gives the gift of eternal life because of His love. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He allows us a home in heaven because He prepares us. Because He's forgiven us and He gives us the gift of eternal life. And all you have to do is acknowledge what Christ did and accept that for you. In a simple prayer, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I know that You died on the cross for my sins. I know that You're the Son of God. I know that You were buried. I know that on the third day You rose again. You sit on the right hand of God now, offering eternal life and the forgiveness of my sin. Dear Lord, forgive me my sins and save me. Say a simple prayer like that. The Bible says you're saved.
Amen.
And your direction has changed forever. Don't leave here today without knowing Christ as your Savior. But for us Christians, do we need, is there work to be done in our love for God? Let's make a new and fresh commitment to do that. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask You for this time of invitation. God, just search our hearts. Help us to love You with all our heart. Help us experience Your love through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.